Good evening. I want to give you a warm welcome as we gather to meet around God's word, as we come to praise him, as we come to worship him. Let's just commit our time to God in prayer. Almighty God, we ask that as we come to worship you this Sunday evening, we pray that our minds would not be distracted. We pray that we would be able to focus on worshipping you, on praising you, on being taught by you. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us, helping us and guiding us. We ask for your honour and glory. Amen. Amen. We're going to start by reading a few verses from Psalm 147. So the first 12 verses from Psalm 147. It's not on the screen. You're welcome to turn to it in your Bibles if you have one. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble, and he casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food, and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor is his pleasure in the legs of man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. And for our first hymn, our first song, we are going to join in singing, O God beyond all praising, we worship you today. And sing the love amazing that songs cannot repay, for we can only wonder at every gift you send. Let's stand as the music starts. Turn again to our great God in prayer. Let's bow our heads and our hearts and our minds. Almighty God, as we come into your presence, we pray that you would grant us that spirit of worship and of praise that we were reading about and that we have been singing about. May our hearts be drawn to you as we consider everything that you have done. Lord, may our hearts be drawn to you in praise and worship. Lord, when we stop to think of your creation, Lord, the way it demonstrates your power and your majesty, the way we see the stars, and when we look at the stars, Lord, they speak of your ability to put them into place, your ability to set the different patterns, the different constellations, Lord, your ability to know everyone by name, and Lord, your ability to know how many that there are. And Lord, when we compare that to ourselves, we realise how finite we are. Lord, we want to thank you and praise you for your love. Lord, your love that when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, didn't result in instant judgment. Your love and patience when we fail, when we go wrong, when we offend you. Lord, you are patient and long-suffering with us because you are a God of love. We thank you that you're a God of love. We thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus. We praise you that you were willing to send him to this earth. We thank you that he was willing, out of obedience to you, to come and live amongst his creation. Lord, we thank you that he came and he committed no wrong. We thank you that he came and he fulfilled the law. The law could throw nothing at him because he lived a perfect life in unity with you. And yet he still died. Yet he was willing to go to the cross. Yet he was willing to bear the punishment for all of us in faith who would turn to him, asking for forgiveness. All of us who would trust him that his death on the cross has taken the punishment that we deserve. Lord God, may our hearts just want to praise you and thank you for being willing to do that. For being willing to look at us who deserve nothing but punishment. Look at us in mercy. Looking to us in grace. Lord, we thank you that we can have peace with you because of what the Lord Jesus has done. We thank you that you are now exalted in heaven, sitting next to your Father. Lord, you are there guiding your people, helping your people. Guiding your Holy Spirit, Lord, we ask that our lives would be focused on you, focused on living the way that you want us to, focused on reaching out to those round about us with the gospel of grace. Lord God, we pray that you would give us those opportunities to speak to those round about us, whether they are our family or friends, whether they are in our workplaces, whether they are at the school gate, whether they are our neighbours. You will give us opportunities to talk about you, to tell them about Jesus. And we pray, Lord God, that you would work, that you would be bringing souls into your kingdom, that there would be a great harvest of people from this world that come to know you as their Saviour. Lord, we remember those among us who don't know you, who haven't come in faith. Lord, who don't realise the desperate state that they are in. Lord God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would convict them of sin. We pray that he would work in their lives. We pray that out of love you would draw them to you. That in love they would come to know Jesus as their Saviour. Lord God, we pray that you would hear the prayers of your people. Lord God, we want to remember where your word has faithfully been taught. Whether it's here in this morning service, whether it's in Thrive, Rooted, Lord, whether it's in prisons or up and down the country, where your word has faithfully been preached, we ask that seed would have been sown. We pray for your word tonight. We pray that it would come powerfully into our lives. We pray that it would have a transforming effect on the way that we live our lives. Lord, there may be a lesson for us for a word of encouragement. There may be a word of rebuke. Lord, there may be a word that lifts us up, that wants to praise and worship you more. Lord, there may be a life-giving word. But Lord, we pray that your word as it's spoken tonight, would reach out into our hearts and transform our lives. And Lord, we pray that we would become more like Jesus, our Saviour. Lord God, we want to commit to you those who are grieving, those of you who have had loss. Lord God, we pray that you would comfort them. We pray that you would strengthen them. We pray that you would give them peace. Lord, we especially remember the funeral of John Cruz on Friday. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Esther. We pray that you would be with those close to John, who love John. And Lord, we pray that you would be a support to them. And we pray that all would go well on Friday. Lord God, we want to commit to you those who have had operations, those who are recovering from operations. Lord, we pray that you would be with them. Lord, we ask you to give them patience as they deal with the recovery. Lord God, sometimes these things don't go as fast as we want, but Lord, we ask that you would encourage and help them. Lord, we pray for any who are under stress or struggle. Lord God, you know each of our circumstances. You know each of our lives. We're so thankful that you have told us to cast our cares on you because you care for us. And help us to take our problems, whether small or whether large, to you, looking to you for help. Lord God, we want to commit to you, the YP group. We ask that you be with them with the weekend away coming up this following weekend. We pray that you would be with the leaders and those who are responsible, those who are leading. We pray that you would be with the YPs who are going on the weekend away, that they would have a good time. They would be kept safe. The weather would be kind to them. Lord, we pray that your word would be powerfully used on that weekend away. We ask that in time future, we look back and we see that you worked at this weekend away. Lord God, again, we commit your word. We commit John to you. We ask that you would help him as he brings your word to us. We ask you would strengthen him. We ask that you would give him clarity of thought and word. We pray that he would know your presence with us. Lord, and we ask that as we continue in our worship, you would be with us. Amen. We've got our second song, which is As the Deer Pants for the Water, So My Soul Longs After You. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Let's stand with the music. If you can turn with me in your Bibles or your apps or follow on the wall, we're going to read Psalm 16. Read Psalm 16, which is on page 453 in the Chapel Bibles. Psalm 16, entitled, "You Will Not Abandon My Soul." Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, "You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And John is going to come and speak on that psalm after our next hymn under the title "God and Pleasure." God and Pleasure. But we're going to have our next hymn now, which is "Jerusalem the Golden, with Milk and Honey Blessed. O City of God's Presence, His People's Promised Rest." And let's stand when the music starts.
Well, maybe a hymn not quite so well known these days, but the contents of it fit in very well with where we end up this evening. Well, we're going to be looking this evening at this lovely psalm, Psalm 16, and I'm going to do so with a theme in mind, and that's the theme of pleasure. The theme of pleasure. We have to be a bit careful not to impose a theme on a part of God's word. But I think there's enough in the psalm, and I think you'll realise that as we go through it, to take us on this route through the psalm and to especially pick out that theme rather than necessarily go through every verse. Enjoyment. Pleasure. Something that is pleasing. Well, it's a nice word, isn't it? Pleasure. I don't know what it makes you think of. You think of a pleasure beach or a pleasure cruise or a pleasure park, or you think of, you know, no, I just do this for pleasure. I enjoy it. It's what I do in my free time. It's for pleasure. It's a nice word, nice thought, pleasure. What about God and pleasure? That's the title, God and pleasure. The Bible and pleasure. Perhaps you think, well, perhaps you think they don't go together. Perhaps you think it's a bit like sort of oil and water. Did you ever do that in science lessons? You know, oil and water in the test tube, and you finish shaking and they separate straight away. They're immiscible is the word, isn't it? They just don't mix, and you say, well, God and pleasure, they're just different. There's a line between them. You know, they don't have much to do with each other. Well, quite a few look on Christianity like that. I think it's got nothing to do with pleasure. Some forms of Christianity seem to think along those lines. But if we're thinking that way, we haven't really understood. We've got the wrong end of the stick. That's not the Bible's teaching. And in this psalm, there is pleasure. If you have it open, you'll see, it's obvious in some words, like in verse 6, you've got pleasant. Verse 11, you've got pleasures. But it's also there, really, in other words. You've got good in verse 2. You've got delight in verse 3. You've got glad and rejoicing in verse 9. You've got fullness of joy in verse 11. And yet it's a God-packed psalm. The number of times the Lord is referred to is in double figures, just in this short psalm. It's written by a man who takes refuge in God. That's obvious from the very outset. Preserve me, O God, verse 1, for in you I take refuge. It's written by a man who calls him his Lord, verse 2, you are my Lord. The Lord is his praise in verse 7. I bless the Lord. The Lord is his focus. Verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. This man, so taken up with the Lord, can also talk a lot about pleasure. Now, of course, pleasure and pleasures can be a bad thing. They can be an alternative to God, 2 Timothy 3, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They can be a very dangerous distraction from God. Do you remember the parable of the sower? And the explanation is given in Luke 8, verse 14. And as for that which fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. They can be plainly against God. Titus talks about those being changed and saved in Titus 3. And he says, for we were ourselves once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. And you think of Moses, perhaps in Hebrews 11, described as fleeing the fleeting pleasures of sin. So, pleasures can be wrong. Pleasures can be against God. That's part of the Bible's teaching. But what we see in this psalm, as we look at it, is a right place of pleasure, which is very clearly linked to God. And we're going to follow that through in three parts. And the first is this one. Pleasure now from God. Pleasure now from God. There is pleasure in this life from God. I've been thinking back a bit over my mum's life, a long life. There were no doubt difficulties. Well, I can remember very many difficulties and hard times, especially in recent months. But there were lots of pleasures. There were lots of good things, and my mum enjoyed them. And she entered into the good things. And I feel thankful for that, looking back. Pleasures from God. The pleasures of this life are fleeting, but they are pleasures and they are gifts from God. Verse 2. I have no good apart from you. The good things I have, the good things I enjoy, they come from you. Good companions, especially Christian ones. Verse 3. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. I take pleasure in friends, in good friends, and especially in godly Christian friends. I was looking through my mum's messages, her recent messages, and there were many ups and downs through a difficult time. And as you may know, she had a unique style of messaging on the phone. But this was the last one I noticed. It was on the day of her operation. And it makes this point very nicely, so I mention it. I've just had the chaplaincy. She had a nice word and prayed. So I have abundances of praying friends. I'm most fortunate. It's the delight, the pleasure of this verse. Of companions, companions who love the Lord, companions who are praying. And that's a great pleasure. Verse 6. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, in pleasing places. The things that God has given, the place where he's put me, the lines have fallen to me, that my boundaries, my patch, where I am, where God has put me, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. This green and pleasant land we sometimes sing of. And I remember the previous pastor here, so many of you know him so well, Peter Rao. And I remember him quoting this verse when he had moved to this location, began to minister. I think he was just walking locally down the lanes. And the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places, he felt. God has been so kind to me in my environment, in where I live. And you think of your allotted patch, where you are, and your home, and it may not be a mansion, and it may be smaller than many places, and you may have your frustrations and difficulties, but can't you in so many ways look around your patch, your borders, and say, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. God has given me a lot, which is very pleasurable and very enjoyable. even where that's not so straightforward. I was speaking to Dorothy Tutor. Some of you know Dorothy Tutor. She's now confined to a home in Horam, and visited her a number of months ago. We visited her, and she was just, she seemed in a very content frame of mind, though she was largely bedridden. And she just said, "Isn't it wonderful that there are places like this around to care for people like me?" That was a lovely spirit. Looking at what has been given by God, even in adverse circumstances. So there is pleasure now from God. In 1 Timothy, God gives us all things richly to enjoy. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, says James. Ecclesiastes is an interesting book, isn't it? I know we looked at it a few years ago. It's an interesting book. And in amongst the thoughtfulness that this guy has, there are times where he sees things, especially from God, and the importance of enjoying what God gives. Ecclesiastes 5:18, "Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart." So there are good, legitimate pleasures. And what is one of the things we're to do with them? Enjoy them. Those meals. Those family times. Those special events. That good job. Those great friendships. That wholesome hobby. Those good night's sleep. Those periods of good health. Those technological helps which make such a difference. Enjoy them. What's another thing to do with them? Is to recognise them as from God and to praise him. We sang, didn't we? "O God, beyond all praising, praising, we worship you today and sing the love amazing that songs cannot repay. For we can only wonder at every gift you send, at blessings without number and mercies without end. We lift our hearts before you and wait upon your word. We honour and adore you, our great and mighty Lord." Can you thank God for all your great enjoyments? It's a sad thing if you have enjoyments and you don't know the Lord and the source of them. Pleasure now from God. But we move on secondly to something which comes out in this psalm. What is his supreme delight? There's many things he's thankful for, but what is his supreme delight? We come on secondly to pleasure chiefly in God. Pleasure chiefly in God. We have our pleasures from God, but the main pleasure is God. It's not mainly the gifts which give the pleasure, but the giver that we delight in. Verse 5. "The Lord is my chosen portion." It's the language of belonging. It's the things that are given to him which he really values. It's his assets, if you like. It's his land. It's his lot. And his greatest asset, the thing he values most, is the Lord. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. When you're thinking of lots and inheritance in the Old Testament, you might think of the different tribes, and they were given land that belongs to them. It was theirs, which was their portion, which was their lot. And you might think, well, which tribe had the best allotment? Which came off best? Was it Manasseh? I seem to have, from my judgment of the maps I looked at, the biggest territory. Was it Manasseh? Was it Judah? Because it ended up with some of the special places in it, like Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Well, is that the best patch to have? Was it Asher? A nice long stretch of coastline on the Mediterranean? I think the Levites ended out best. Numbers 18. And the Lord said to Aaron, the Levites followed on from him, you shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the people of Israel. The Levites had the Lord as their inheritance, and I think they were the best off of the lot. Psalm 73 has portion language, a sense of delight about it. Verse 25. He comes to this conclusion, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. What do we glory in? What do we boast in? What is our great delight? Jeremiah gives us some tips, if you like, about what it shouldn't be and what it should be. And it's very relevant. Jeremiah 9:23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast or glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth. Let me give you another psalm. There's lots of psalms we could go to. Let's just dip in briefly to Psalm 63 in the first few verses. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. Pleasure chiefly in God, delighting in God. If you experience that pleasure, there's nothing else quite like it, is there really? We have many pleasures now from God, but there's nothing compared to knowing God, to delighting in him, to discovering more of his greatness and his glory. It is our lifetime pursuit. It's a source of immense pleasure. When you go to a theme park, they're sometimes divided into areas, aren't they? I remember us as a family going to Disneyland Paris, and there were different areas to go in while you were there. I couldn't remember them. I looked them up. I don't remember these names, but presumably it was the same then. There was Fantasyland and Frontierland and Adventureland and Discoveryland. And you plan your day and you think, well, which area should we go in? And spend some time in there. And then we'll move on and we'll have a little time in there. And then that one, you work it out. And you go to these different areas to maximise your pleasure, really. when you're on holiday and you're taking the family. That's what you're looking to do. For the Christian, we've got different areas to spend time in, to delight in, to have pleasure in. It's God's greatness and it's God's majesty, and we can spend time thinking of his righteousness, and we can think of his wisdom, and we think of his omnipresence, and we can think of his grace, and we can think of his mercy, and we can think of his faithfulness, and we can think of his love. And they're all areas of pleasure for the believer. And you come to the end of a Disneyland Paris or a theme park where you have your stresses and strains are not always quite as enjoyable as you think they're going to be, are they? But sometimes you think, oh, if only I had a bit longer, I could spend more time in that area. Or if only I had more days, if we'd have had 2 days or 3 days, we could have spent more. And so the believer can spend more in these different areas. There's just, if you like, as a depth you can't fathom in the character of God and his word for us to plummet and to take pleasure in. Delight yourself in the Lord, Psalm 37, verse 4, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I'm looking forward, God willing, to the sabbatical, which has been kindly given. And I'm looking forward to different aspects. Looking forward to little responsibility, no responsibility. Looking forward to some rest and some walks and things not so pressurised, number of things. We're looking forward to going to different places that perhaps I might not go to. But one of the things I would ask you to pray about is that I might find great pleasure in God and know him better. Looking forward to going into Isaiah over the course of those times, and hoping and praying that in Isaiah I might just discover more of God and his word and be refreshed in him. So pleasure chiefly in God. So far we've been focusing in this life. Pleasure now from God, pleasure chiefly in God. But we can go further, and this psalm goes further. And the last thing I want to observe from this psalm is this: pleasure forever with God. Pleasure forever with God. I remember when Esther's dad passed away, it was over 20 years ago now, my morning reading was in Psalm 16, it's just where I got to, and so I read verse 11. What a lovely thing it was when somebody close to us had passed away. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. David can celebrate the thought of future pleasure, even in the face of death. He's convinced that death is not the end of him. Verses 9 and 10 come before that verse I read. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. Well, of course, David did die and he was buried. And he remained in the grave. And this psalm here points beyond David to someone even greater, who death would not entrap for more than a couple of days. This psalm points to Jesus, as Peter, after quoting these verses that we've just read in Psalm 16, he quotes them in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. And after following the quote, he carries on in verse 29, brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet And knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. And it's because this Jesus died and rose again that we have confidence and hope beyond death. So that we can say, like it says in verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Beyond death, there are pleasures. And in some ways, verse 11, somebody's compared it to an escalator. I've seen a fair bit of escalators going around London, travelling around there in the last month or so. Escalators taking you up, getting to a higher point. And some see that here in verse 11. It just goes upwards, really. You have made known to me the path of life. Well, that's a good path, isn't it? Life, having life, that's tremendous. But then it carries on. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Wow. And then it carries on. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. When I was at Warwick at university, we had a speaker fairly often called Nigel Lee. He was at an evangelical church in Warwick, but he was also a international speaker, I think. And he loved Christ. He was a warm, caring Bible teacher, very involved with UCCF. I remember noticing a little while ago now, in 2006, that he was due to speak at the Keswick Convention. And his name was on the publicity. He was one of those speakers who was advertised. But events progressed, and instead he had to write this letter to those who were there and going. Dear Keswick friends, I'm so sorry not to be with you this year. I was greatly looking forward to it. Keswick has meant much to me over the years. I think particularly of our heartfelt worship in the presence of good friends, a deep unity in Christ with people who are different, the glory of the Lord Jesus being unveiled before our eyes, a fresh commitment to his service forever. But the doctors have told me that I should expect, before the convention begins, to be in the one place where all these foreshadowings have given way to reality. Our trials have included much glory through the kindness of the Lord, and the best is yet to come. And he went to be with his Lord 3 or 4 months before the Keswick Convention. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Have you got a hope of pleasure beyond the end of this life? You are on a, I have to say, you're in a pretty miserable situation if you haven't. You're in a pretty miserable situation if you haven't. Pleasures in this life don't go with us. You can't take your phone with you. You can't take your remote control to get the programs you want. You can't take your wallet. You can't take your car. You can't take your book of hobbies. Those things will be behind. Have you got pleasure after them? If you have Christ as your Saviour, then ahead of you is fullness of joy. Pleasures forevermore. At your right hand. What was one of the great things for the thief on the cross? Today you will be with me in paradise, said Jesus. Paul said, I'm going to be with Christ, which is far better. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I hadn't noticed this before, probably because I've not read the Narnia Chronicles. I've only watched a few of the sort of film versions, perhaps like you. But I came across what is the last paragraph of the last book in the Narnia Chronicles. And I thought it was rather nice. I'd like to read it to you. C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia finishes like this. And as Aslan spoke, he no longer looked to them like a lion, but the things that began to happen after that were so great and beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end of all stories. And we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. Isn't that nice? Picture of heaven at the end of life. For the believer, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Pleasure now from God, pleasure chiefly in God, and pleasure forever with God. Well, shall we sing our last song, which will give praise and glory to our Redeemer who has achieved all this for us. I will glory in my Redeemer whose priceless blood has ransomed me.
Thank you.
Lord, we praise you for the many, many pleasures we have in this life. Help us to enjoy them as gifts from you, to keep them in their right place, and to praise you and thank you for them. Lord, may we know what it is to delight most of all in knowing you, in knowing your word, in knowing your character, in knowing your Son. May that be the thing which we deepen in our appreciation of and delight in especially. Lord, we thank you that because of what you have done through Christ, the enjoyments that we experience are not limited to this life. In fact, they are surpassed as believers we move to the next life. They take on a whole new chapter, a whole new beginning, a whole new quality as we are with Christ, which is far better. And those pleasures are not short, and those pleasures do not fade, and they do not dwindle, but they are pleasures forevermore. And we thank you that by grace, that is our future. Amen.